we have indeed been the recipients of a lot of blessings through those who share their talents through ministry with this church. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning very quickly. If you look in your bulletin, you have a sheet there that gives you the verses. The passage is a rather long passage, and we're going to look at it. It also has kind of the outline of where we're heading. It's got a few blanks, but that just makes sure you stay awake and keep writing, okay? But I want to talk to you this morning in honor of us honoring Velma Ruth Wood and honoring our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for what he does for us and through us, and how he gives us, the Holy Spirit gives us different gifts and talents and abilities, and how he wants us to use those. One of the things that through the years, I've come to realize is true service to our Lord is when we recognize what he's given to us, we need to share with other people. Amen? Your talents, your abilities, your experiences, your heart, your passion, all those things is about that he didn't give them for us. He gave them to us to share with other people. If I could sum up in any shape, form, Velma Ruth's life, it would be that she gave. What God gave her, she shared with us. Amen? Now, I'll be honest with y'all. She has known me since I started seventh grade. And it doesn't matter if I was in the seventh grade or the day I started preaching here. If she had some advice for me, she shared it, and she wasn't bashful about it. Amen? And I was serious about that I don't know how many different times we'd leave out of here, and she would come and hug my neck afterwards when I was the interim here. She would hug my neck, and she'd say, "Oh, Mark, that was very, very good. But do you really have to chase all those rabbits?" She said, "Sometimes you can just let those rabbits run off, and you don't have to chase them." She was telling me is, sometimes you ought to stay on your message a little bit more. Amen? But I loved her just as each and every one of us did, and I have fond memories. And like I've said, just from listening, to Brandy and Brian, both of them are standing before us this morning serving the Lord through serving us because of her ministry. Amen? That's the greatest honor that we can give. The picture is great, and it's a beautiful picture, but I think that's a better picture of honor than even what we have. But we do count it a blessing to be able to share that with each of you and to do it in honor of her. So Romans chapter 15, I want us to look at the seven keys very quickly. Seven keys to an effective ministry. When I think of ministry, a model for ministry, besides the Lord Jesus Christ, I think the Apostle Paul is one of our greatest models that we have for ministry. And we have here in the book of Romans where he is sharing with those in Rome. We're talking about to those, the church at Rome. He is talking about effective ministry. And in his conversation of verses 14 through 33, he shares with us seven keys. Now, you think, my goodness, he usually has three or four points, and this has got seven. They're quick ones, trust me. All right, we're going to look at them just very quickly. But we're going to look at these seven keys. As we celebrate our Lord, and as we celebrate this Velma Ruth's life, when I was thinking, my mind just automatically went to this passage. Because, yes, most of us think of her as playing the piano in this church, or you think of her as a school nurse. But the truth of the matter is she was far more than that. Not only was she, did she play the piano, do those things, she was a devout follower, a devout believer of our Lord Jesus Christ, and a devout minister that ministered to us in so many different ways. And that's what Paul is describing. I think, as I said, I think one of the greatest ways to honor her is to seek to live up to those gifts and those things that she's bestowed upon us. And the simplest way for me to put that is the best way to honor someone who has poured their life into you is for you to pour your life into others and to share ministry, be a part of a ministry that shares what God is giving you to others. And that's what we're going to look at. It doesn't matter what area of ministry we're in, what area of ministry you go into. There are these keys or these principles are important. If you don't have those, I don't believe you have an effective ministry. I don't believe you are being as effective as God wants you to be. In Romans chapter 15, and by the way, the whole passage is on the back for you. We're going to be making references from verse 14 through verse 33. But in verse 14, it says, Paul says, I am myself confident, my brothers, that you yourself are full of goodness, complete in knowledge, competent to instruct one another. Really what Paul is saying is, listen, you are competent to minister. You are competent to serve. Paul really, just a way of background, Paul had two basic ministries, and I've written them there for you. He had the ministry to the unbelievers, verse 14 through 22, really talks about those. And then he also had a ministry to believers, verses 22 through 33. And Paul tells us that ministry is all about meeting the needs of those. If you're involved in ministry, it's going to be involved in meeting the needs of unbelievers and meeting the needs of believers as well. Now, again, as I go through this, you're going to understand more and more if you don't already. You're going to go, yeah, I see why that made Brother Mark think about Velma Ruth. Because she had that kind of a ministry, didn't she? She had a ministry to unbelievers as well as to believers. So my point that I'm really trying to make here is that as believers, you've heard me say it over and over again, as believers, I believe every Christian has a ministry and a mission. I believe if you've invited Christ in your life, you have a ministry and you have a mission that he wants you to fulfill in your life. You may be sitting here and going, whew, well, I haven't figured that out. I haven't discovered that. Really? Well, let me mention a date to you. October 19th, 6 p.m. Because that's what we're going to be looking at, is discovering. See, I thought I'd at least get a chuckle out of mentioning it right. Just blatantly doing a commercial right here in the middle. That's what we're going to be talking about. We're going to talk about discovering what your ministry would be, discovering what your mission would be. But I believe every believer has a ministry and a mission. Again, we thought of Velma Ruth as hers was being music, but I can tell you for a fact that it was not only that. She was a teacher. She was a worshiper. She was a giver. She was a proclaimer. She had ministries to both. God wants us to have ministries to both. Paul says there's seven keys to having ministries for both of them, and let's look at them very quickly. Number one, if you're going to have an effective ministry, it must be based on God's grace. It must be based on God's grace. Verses 15 and 16, because of the grace of God gave me to be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. Brothers and sisters, if you hear nothing else today, hear this. It's all about God's grace. The only reason you and I are believers is because of God's grace. There's not a single one of us here that deserve the salvation that he gave to us. Amen? It's all about grace. That's why every time, even to get close to it, the writers get even close to this, they have to say, it's all about grace. We are saved by grace. We serve by grace. We have a ministry by grace. We have a mission by grace. The breath that you and I just took was by grace. The talents that you have is by grace. The personality that you have was there by grace. The experiences that you've had is there by grace. There is nothing in this life that you and I have that is not about grace. Do you get the hint? Ministry's got to be based on God's grace. Why? Because he's bestowed it to imperfect people, that's why. Because you and I are imperfect. And if it would have required us being perfect to be sitting here, this building would not even be here this morning. Amen? It's built, it needs to be based on God's grace. Number two, not only does it need to be effective ministry, not only is it based on God's grace, it has to be built on God's word. An effective ministry must be built on God's word. He said, I have the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God. He said, listen, it's by grace that God has given that I'm a minister, and what I'm supposed to be ministering on is God's word. In other words, it's got to be based, the gospel of God. In other words, it's based on his word. That's what the gospel is, isn't it? It's God's word. You can have all of the talent in the world that you want to have. And I have heard some great talented people speaking, singing, playing instruments. But you know what? If it's not based on God's word, it sounds kind of like tinging cymbals, doesn't it? It's just noise. It's got to be based on God's word. Acts 20, 32, I give you the word of grace, which is able to build you up. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be thoroughly finished unto every good work. I like the Phillips translation of this one. It says that we may have the comprehensive equipment to serve God. I like that. The comprehensive equipment to serve God. So, effective ministry is based on God's grace. It's built on God's word. And here's number three. Y'all thought, man, there ain't no way. I didn't think he'd get to number three in just that short. Number three. An effective ministry is done for God's glory. It's done for God's glory. Paul said, therefore, I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. I will not speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me. Ministry, serving God, cannot be about promoting our personality. It cannot be about promoting our gifts. It can't be about promoting our talents. If it is, then it's not ministry, is it? And it's not effective. It has to be about God's glory. It has to be pointing to God's glory. We need to realize that God often gives his greatest gifts to the weakest people. You're looking at one. When I was in the seventh grade, I would take zeros rather than get up and do an oral book report. Now, some of you, that's the first time you've heard that, and you're like, really? You seem to enjoy very much being up there and talking and talking and talking. I didn't used to be. God seems to glory, and he gets the glory when he takes our weaknesses and makes them strengths, and he uses them. That's why it's got to be about his glory. Everything we do has got to be pointing to him. He said, follow me. Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. I used to think, honestly, I used to read the writings of Paul, and I thought, man, what an ego this guy's got. And for him to say, follow me as I follow Christ, that used to really bother me until I realized it's not an ego trip. He's just saying, hey, I'm not perfect, but at least I'm going that direction. I'm working on it. I'm using what God's given me, and I want to give him the glory That's something we can get behind, amen? That's something we can emulate. When somebody asks you, what right do you have? Excuse me, what right do you have to be involved in that certain ministry? You can tell them, I don't have any right whatsoever. It's God's grace, and it's for God's glory. And I'm just a trophy of grace. I just, every time you see me doing something, your mind ought to go to, oh, God sure is good. God sure is able to do some miraculous things. So it's got to be based on God's grace, built on his word, done for his glory. And then number four, it has to be performed in God's power. It has to be performed in God's power. Again, Paul tells us in Romans 15, by the power of signs and miracles through the power of the Spirit, I fully proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. A little before our verse here is a very famous one in John 15:5. Jesus is talking and he says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. But apart from me, he can do nothing. How many of y'all in your Sunday school class this morning got on an agricultural topic during your Sunday school lesson? We did. We couldn't seem to get off from the agricultural application of what they were saying. We understand this because it says if you have a branch, if it's not hooked to the vine, it's not going to grow. It's the same thing that Paul is telling us here. Listen, if you've got a ministry, if you think you've got a ministry and you're doing it in your own power, good luck. It ain't going to work. We've got to have God's power. The thing that I love about that is that God uses ordinary people to do some extraordinary things. Just look in his word. How many times he used ordinary people to do extraordinary things? How does he do it? Just like what Paul said right there, it's through his power, the power of the Holy Spirit. So our ministry, if it's going to be effective, has to be based on God's work. Based on God's grace. It's got to be built on God's word. It has to be done for God's glory. And it has to be performed in God's power. Here's number five. It has to be planned according to God's purpose. It has to be planned according to his purpose. What do I mean? Look at what Paul said. He said, it's always been my ambition. You mean it's all right to have ambition? You can have ambition. You can have plans. You can have strategies. You can have things that you want to accomplish. That's okay? Yeah. As long as it's planned according to God's purpose. As long as it lines up with his purpose and you're doing it for his purpose. I think God is a strategic planner. If not, brothers and sisters, why did he make us the way he made us if he wasn't a strategic planner? If he didn't have plans for what he wants us to do, all throughout the scripture, it talks about what God, Jeremiah, I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord, and they're for good and not bad. If we're going to have an effective ministry, it must be planned according to God's purpose. I really think that we are living in a very unique and special time in our country right now. And as much as some of you might disagree because maybe you've always lived here, he has put us in a very strategic place being here in Howard County. You think, oh, no, Mark, you mean if we were in Dallas or if we were in California? No, I mean here. Told y'all before, I don't like to go into Walmart. And so I usually, if we go, I take Alty and she goes in and I sit out in the truck. And I try to park to where I can watch people. Do that sometime. Go to Walmart and park. And instead of watching people, watch the license plates that go by you on vehicles. Amen? There, I have literally, by sitting in Walmart within any given week, in a week's time, I bet you could see a license plate from every state in the Union that you can get here by land. We don't, to do ministry to the world, brothers and sisters, we don't have to go all out there. We can just minister in our county and affect our world, our Americas, and more. You go over to Midland, and there are people not only from the United States, from pretty much most every country you can imagine in Midland, aren't there? And they come to Howard County. You see, we have to plan for God's, with God's purpose in mind. And his purpose is that we might take the gospel to a lost and dying world. And that doesn't mean you have to fly to Zimbabwe. It may just mean you have to park yourself at Walmart. Number six. Number one, based on God's grace. Two, built on God's word. Three, done for God's glory. Four, performed in God's power. Five, planned for God's purpose. And six, supported by God's people. It must, an effective ministry must be supported by God's people. Some of you, I heard you taking a breath. You thought, oh, with visitors, he's talking about tithing? Well, yeah. But I think it goes beyond that. I think it even goes beyond right here where in this passage, Paul was talking about a tithe, a gift, an offering. Said, for Macedonia and Achaia were pleased to make a contribution. Indeed, they owed it to the Jews to share with them their material blessings. As I look around at this congregation and in the different places that I'm at, in the class, Sunday school class, everything else, I understand there are those that are in their 20s and 30s that are at an economical level that they're parents didn't reach till they were 60 or 70. God has blessed us, has he not? With financial stability, financial resources that are almost unprecedented. And people are getting to that level faster and faster. And when they get there, they look around and they finally go, okay, now what am I supposed to do? I've reached what the goal was. I've reached the goal line and kicked the extra point. What do I need to do now? And when I see that, I want to shout. It's very simple. It's time to give back. We do that through our offerings, our tithes and our offerings, don't we? Amen? Now, I don't talk a lot about that, do I? It's not that I'm embarrassed to talk to you about it. That's not the case. See, I know what, when we're taught and we understand about giving, I know what the benefit that is for you. I know how God blesses those who give. But my point is it's even more than that. I'm not just talking about the money that God has blessed you with. I'm talking about your time. By the way, did I mention to y'all about October 19th at 6 o'clock? Okay. Your energy, your talents, your gifts, your abilities, your passion, your experiences. Listen, ministry must be supported by God's people. Amen? The truth of the matter is, it takes money to minister. And God has blessed us, and God is blessing this church. And I pray that God continues to bless this church with the finances that we have here. But you know what? I think he wants to also bless us even more with all of us giving of our time and our talents as well. It's based on God's effective ministry. It's based on God's grace. It's built on God's word. It's done for God's glory. It's performed in God's power. Planned according to God's purpose. Needs to be supported by God's people. And here's the last one. And y'all didn't think I'd make it, did you? The last one. It's got to be backed by prayer. It's got to be backed by prayer. He said, join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. Pray that I may be rescued from the unbelievers in Judea and that my service in Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints there. You say, well, I don't know how to get involved in a ministry. Well, I tell you what, right now, right this day, you can start being involved in any and all ministries in this church by praying for them. And I promise you that's going to lead you further down the line, isn't it? Further down the road. They need to be backed by prayer. So my question is, and I ask the kids, what are keys for? Well, the first thing they came up with was what? What's the use of a key? Okay, to open things and turn on things, to unlock things, isn't it? I also said it was a place that you start, isn't it? And it's something that you play on, something that you play in when we're talking about music. So my question is very simple to you this morning. Do what, Braxton? Go ahead. Piano, yes. My question to you is really pretty simple. What key, what use of a key do you need to exercise this morning? For ministry, does it need to be to unlock it? Does it need to be to give you a key to play in? Or does it need to be like the piano where you're something that you use to minister? Or does it need to be a starting place? The keys to an effective ministry. Paul displayed them for us. Velma Ruth displayed them for us. God wants us to display them for other people. Amen. So is Brian and Brandy come. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation. I just challenge you this morning. In this time of invitation, ask the Lord, what function of the key do I need to use this morning? What does he want you to unlock? What does he want you to grasp and to start at? And then would you be faithful to do what he tells you to do? I'll be waiting here in the front for you in just a moment. Maybe you need to come and talk to me. Maybe you just need to come to his altar. Maybe you can do it right where you're at. But don't leave here without utilizing the key.